This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد وفرقان حميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jum'ah in the month of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, there's always a time and a place for everything. You want to go read a book, you generally go to the library to go pick up a book. And when you go to the library, you understand that this is a place where people, they come, they stay quiet, and they read. You have health concerns, you go to the one place where everyone goes to. You go to the doctor's office or you go to the hospital. There's a place for everything and there's a time for everything. Ramadan is the time to develop the one thing that we cannot generally develop throughout the entire year. And that is called taqwa. Because what happens in the month of Ramadan is that we excel in so much good. And there is a community, there is an environment that has been surrounding us for 30 days constantly. 30 days of Quran, 30 days of fasting, 30 days of dhikr, 30 days of qiyam, 30 days of sadaqah. And there is just so much reminders over and over again. And not only that, but there are 30 days where we stay away from fulfilling our desires, where we stay away from falling into any sin that can be destructive, whether it is gossip, whether it is hurting anyone else, whether it is wasting time, whether it is anger. So in essence, the month of Ramadan is a time of the year where Allah, He gives us opportunities and He surrounds us with things that can help us become successful. And He creates a situation for us that we can scale back on the sins that you and I, we commit throughout the entire year. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a situation like this? And more importantly, Allah has removed the greatest obstacle in our life, which is called shaitan, so that we can focus in these 30 days and we can develop the taqwa, the consciousness and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to, we have right here a police academy. Every single time you see police officers putting down the cones, driving through the cones, is the objective the practice in itself? Or is the objective that we come here to the police academy, we practice, you know, all the skills that are generally necessary for a police officer to function at the highest level? We're going to come here and practice over here so that when real life opportunities, when real life situations and circumstances present themselves, I am ready to go. The month of Ramadan is that time to practice. The month of Ramadan is that time of training, so that when Ramadan is over, you and I, we have gone through a serious exercise for 30 years, a spiritual exercise for 30 days, so that later on after this, when the time of Shawwal comes, and now no one is fasting, and people are not reading Quran, and people are not doing dhikr, and people are not coming to the masjid, I am from those few who are still connected to the Quran, who is still giving their sadaqah, who is still reading the Quran. This is what the purpose of the month of Ramadan is. To develop that taqwa, brothers and sisters, you need to be in an environment, and hence Ramadan is that environment. Now the question of course is that what is taqwa? Taqwa, many people, they say that taqwa means the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I talked about this very briefly in my khutbah last week, that what are the three objectives of Ramadan, and I briefly talked about taqwa, but today inshallah in this khutbah, I want to expand that what is taqwa, what are the benefits of taqwa, and how can you and I, we tell if we have taqwa in our life, and how can we gain taqwa. First of all is, what is taqwa? Many scholars, in fact many sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they have given their own understanding of what taqwa is. Ali radiallahu anhu says that taqwa is to have the awareness and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is to apply the Quran in our life. That means that there has to be a certain presence of the Quran in our life, whether we are reading it, whether we are understanding it, whether we are comprehending the Quran, or whether we are trying to apply the Quran in our life. And then he says that whatever Allah has given us, to be thankful on that and to be content with that. Because often we are not thanking Allah for what we have, we are usually complaining about the things that we don't have in life. So Ali radiallahu anhu says that taqwa also means that we are content with what Allah has given us. Yes, a person can ask for more, but whatever Allah has given us, we are content with that. And then he says to prepare for the day of judgment, meaning that we say and we do those right things that are going to put us in a better situation in the hereafter. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, based on the request of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, they said that taqwa basically means that you're walking in a place where you have pristine clothes on and there are thorns everywhere. And the way you are so careful of how you maneuver through that garden and you make sure that your clothes do not get caught up into the thorns, that is what taqwa is. Taqwa, brothers and sisters, is overall the ability to stay away from falling into sin. Whenever sin presents itself to us, we say that Allah is the one that I owe everything to, and Allah is the one who has given me everything, and for Allah's sake, I will stay away from that sin. And we stay away from that situation. This is what taqwa is. A person, the greater the taqwa they have, the greater the taqwa they have, the more they're going to be able to stay away from sin. And a person, when they have low taqwa, okay, or which you can call it low T, okay, not that T, low taqwa, okay, when you have low taqwa, then in that situation, any situation that can take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will choose that option. Brothers and sisters, when we observe the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we go into the Quran, it is so clear, it is evident as daytime, that the only way that you and I, we can benefit from the Quran is through taqwa. This is why we need to apply taqwa in our life. Because if we don't have taqwa, then there is no way we can go into the Quran. It is as if you come to a mansion, and the only way you can benefit with, you can only benefit of what's inside the mansion is you have to go through the door. You have to unlock that door. That key is called taqwa. The only way we can get into the Quran, the only way we can benefit from the Quran, and the only way the Quran can have an impact in our life is through taqwa. A person who does not have taqwa, they'll be truly deprived. Though they may read the Quran, but they'll be deprived from the essence and the beauty of the Quran. We also learn about the importance of taqwa, that when it came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, often study his ahadith, we will learn that often whenever he gave any kind of advices, he would begin with taqwa. When it came to Mu'adh radiallahu anh, and he is about to leave, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him three advices. The very first advice, think about it. Imagine someone is leaving. You may not even see them again. And you're giving them three advices that they will hold on forever. Think about the magnitude of those three advices. And not only that, but out of the three advices, the very first advice has the most amount of weight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of all the advices that he could give, and he chose three, and out of those three, the very first one that he mentioned was about taqwa. He says, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is telling. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is standing in front of the masses on the day of Arafah, on the day of Arafah, in his only hajj that he conducted and he performed, what was the very first advice that he gave to the Muslims? Understanding that he may not be alive next year. He could give so many advices and he has to choose the right advice. Brothers and sisters, his khutbah is well known, but the very first advice that he gave is the fact that the ummah has to be conscious and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He imparted taqwa on the ummah, on his own ummah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only that, but we find subhanallah, even later on, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Whenever Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would give advices, he would always begin with taqwa. Whenever he would begin a khutbah, he would begin with taqwa. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he would write letters to his governors, telling them how to run their affairs. The very first thing that Umar ibn Khattab would write in all of his letters, is ittaqillah. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who puts you in this position, O governor, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes with a responsibility. So brothers and sisters, when we see the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizing on taqwa, when we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizing on taqwa and reminding people about taqwa and giving parting advices and beginning with taqwa, and the Khulafa Rashidun will remind each other about taqwa, and not only that, but even the ulama and the tabi'un and the tabi'un afterwards, whenever they would give advices to each other, they would begin the advice, not at the end, they would begin the advice with taqwa. Why? Why taqwa? Because without taqwa, we have no understanding and we have no awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the core of our entire life. If I don't have a core in my life, then what direction do I have in my life? What focus do I have in my life? So this is why, brothers and sisters, we have to always keep in mind that taqwa is the most important thing in our life. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in a hadith that a man came, he says that, "Awsini ya Rasulullah," give me an advice, ya Rasulullah. What did he say? He says, "Usika bi taqwa Allah," I advise you to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, "Fa innahu ra'su kulli shay." This is the foundation. Taqwa is the foundation for all the khayr and all the good that we can possibly imagine. So this is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important that we don't trivialize the concept of taqwa. If I have taqwa, no problem. If I have taqwa, alhamdulillah. If I don't have taqwa, no problem. No, we have to take this taqwa concept and this idea extremely serious. Now the question is, how can I tell if I have taqwa or not? How can I tell if I have taqwa or not? First of all, is that there are many things that we find in the Quran. I will quickly just share only a few. First of all, is that we find that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about people who go through difficulties in life. And when they go through difficulties in life, either they're going to come closer to Allah or they'll become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, a man asked him that, how can we tell a difficulty is a rahmah from Allah or is it an azab from Allah? How can I tell? Because people will say that, no, it's a rahmah. Some people say it's an azab. Ibn Qayyim, he gave a very beautiful answer. He said, if the calamity, if the difficulty increases you in religiosity, if that difficulty brings you closer to Allah and it connects you to Allah, then that difficulty was a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that difficulty takes you away from Allah and you become ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you decrease in your religiosity, then that calamity has been an adab for you. When we go into the stories of the Quran, every single story in the Quran, especially in terms of the Anbiya, are all about difficulties. But I want to draw your attention to a particular verse in Surah Yusuf. Think about first of all, Yusuf alayhi salam, his entire life. As a child, being hated by his own brothers, thrown into the well, sold into slavery. Not only that, but when he's being called to commit haram, he says, "Ma'adallah," and he runs away. A person could say that, you know what, I've been a victim all my life. Now if I commit haram, it's absolutely fine. No. He did not victimize himself. He said that if there's a situation, no matter how much I've been the victim, but if there's a situation that I'm being called to towards haram, I'm going to run away from the haram. Not only that, but in order to protect himself, he put himself in difficulty and he stayed in prison. Not just for a week, not for a few years, many years. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. After all this, after all this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him into Izzah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united Yusuf alayhi salam with his brothers, with his parents. And not only that, but they admitted to their mistake of how they treated Yusuf alayhi salam. What does Yusuf alayhi salam say? What did Allah say about Yusuf alayhi salam at the end of the surah? He says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي. Whoever has the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَصْبِرْ, and they are patient. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let their efforts go to waste. So the very first sign of having taqwa is that when we go through difficulties in life, understanding that this is part of the temporary life. And the eternal life, inshallah, if I'm going through difficulties today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me relief in the hereafter. And hence we come closer to Allah. Another sign of taqwa is that those who give sadaqah in the times of good and in the times of difficulty. No matter what the situation is, these are people who are always giving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another sign of taqwa are those people that when people make them angry and upset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. These are people who suppress their anger. وَالْكَاظِم does not only mean that a person unleashes upon the other person, and now when they have run out of all energy, then they're going to take a step back and say, I'm going to control my anger. No, that is not what controlling the anger means. This is not وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. أَلْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ means that you suppress the anger in such a manner that it's not even evident on your face. There are no signs of any anger. This is called ultimate suppression. You suppress your anger in a certain degree. Another sign of taqwa is that when a person does commit a sin, because we all are human beings at the end of the day, yes, we will commit sins, but a person who has taqwa is a person that when they do commit the sin or they commit a transgression against themselves, they turn right away to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are just a few signs that we find in the Quran, that these are sort of a litmus test for all of us, that am I amongst those who have taqwa or not? These are the things that we find in the Quran. Another important aspect of taqwa is, what are the benefits? What do I get from taqwa? If I am conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I stay away from sin, if I give for Allah, if I suppress my anger, if I, when I commit a sin, I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I have ikhlas in my life, if I have all this good, what do I get in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First of all is, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves those people who have taqwa in their life. Can you imagine if a person says, I love you, or someone says to you, I love you, it is not a superficial love. It could be a superficial love, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no such thing called a superficial love. When Allah says He loves a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person. When Allah loves a person, everyone loves that person. And when a person is loved by everyone, though you may not have the materialism as others, but wallahi, if you are liked and you are cherished and you are valued by others, then that is the most important thing that a person, many people, they want in life, is just to be connected to others. If Allah loves, other people will love also. We also find in the Quran, the most dignified person is not the person based on the color of their skin or the language they speak. Yes, there are other religions where they have caste systems. Our deen does not have a caste system. The question is, who is the most dignified in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not based on our economic and our financial status. It is not based on our race or the language or the color of our skin, but rather izzah is based on how much taqwa we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. We also find that people who are struggling with money and finance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Often we apply for jobs and so forth. But a person who has taqwa, Allah will bring them opportunities from places they cannot even possibly imagine. You thought that you will not get a job, but you got a job just like that. How? Because sometimes it has to do with a lot with our taqwa. A lot of times people are saying that I have too many difficulties in my life. I have too many difficulties in my life. How can I bring ease into my life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجَعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِي يُسْرًا. Whoever has taqwa in their life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will all make their affairs easy for them. So these are the benefits of taqwa. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who have taqwa and will apply taqwa in their life. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد. The last part when it comes to taqwa, we talked about the importance of taqwa. We talked about how to see if we have taqwa or not. The third thing we talked about is that what are the benefits of taqwa. The last thing is, what do we do if we are suffering from low T? What do we do if we're suffering from low taqwa? First of all is that it always begins with a mindset. It always begins with a mindset. I have to make the intention internally myself that I want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So that is the very first thing that a person has to do. See, a lot of times what happens is that we feel like everything has to be set up for us in order for us to attain taqwa. Well, as it is right now, if you think about Ramadan, the whole stage has been set up for us. Everything has been done for us. An environment has been created for us. Now the ball is in our court. The choice is in our hands. This is where we need to come forward. Allah has done His part. Now we have to come forward and make a strong resolve that I have to bring taqwa into my life. Another important way to bring and increase our taqwa is that often when people commit sins, they are surrounded by certain people or they are in a certain situation. So the most important thing is that if there is a particular person or you are surrounded by certain people that always take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make you forget about the akhirah, then in that situation, we must stay away from them. This is the only way. We find this in Surah Al-Kahf also. When it comes to protecting your faith, you have to be in the company of those who are going to remind you of Allah. We have to be in the company of those who are going to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence, we have to be surrounded by good companionship. Additionally, if there is a certain situation that can take us away from Allah, that can trigger within us committing a certain sin, then we stay away from those kind of situations. So the very first one is the resolve. The second one is making sure that we stay away from anyone that can be a trigger or a place that can be a trigger. And finally, the most important thing is to always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very well-known dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would often ask for taqwa. So these are three things that we can do for anyone who is suffering from low taqwa. And especially when we find ourselves coming into the month of Ramadan, majority of us are suffering from this. Let's use this opportunity. Let's try to keep all these things in mind, inshallah. And let's try to increase our taqwa so that after Ramadan, when everything has gone back to normal, we are still from amongst the few whose taqwa is at a high level. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ja'alna minal muttaqeen. Allahumma ja'alna minal muttaqeen. Allahumma ja'alna minal muttaqeen. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصرنا على من خالفنا واحفظ بلادنا وأصلح أولادنا واشف مرضانا وعاف مبتلانا وارحم موتانا وخذ بأيدينا إلى كل خير وعاصمنا من كل شر واحفظنا من كل ضير اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن يقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحيتنا وجعله الوارث منا وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب آمين رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقم الصلاة
Straining lines, filling the gaps. There's still ample amount of space inside the main hall. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure you're coming inside the main hall. Brothers in the multi-purpose hall, please make sure that the lobby is full first. Come inside. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure that you fill up the main hall first. Sisters, straining lines, filling the gaps. Please make sure the rows are straight. The rows are complete, sisters. And inshallah, after Salat, Salat al-Jum'ah, I just need only just 5 minutes of your time, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خلاص straight lines from the gaps الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر
الله شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.